19 and verse number 7, and then we will go to 2 Timothy and chapter number 2. The reason I'm dressed like this tonight is I did a funeral this morning and just stayed this way, dressed all day, and so had a funeral out in Lackawanna, about 30 people there, a good opportunity to share the gospel with them all. So tonight I want to talk about another facet of love, and we don't think of this as love, but love is endurance. Love is endurance. I want to talk about the facet of enduring. And there's a lot of things we don't think about our love. Usually we think love is some mushy, sentimental, fuzzy feeling that we have, when we're, whatever, ready to get married or something like that, and we're glad for those feelings, and that's a lot of fun for a season. But love is a very deep thing, a very multifaceted characteristics that's wrought in us by God. As you can see, two diamonds behind me. The one on your left is a diamond that's just raw, right out of the earth, not worth much. And then to the right, you'll see one that has what we call facets in it. That's when a gemologist makes a cut and then polishes that. And the heavier the diamond and the more facets that it has, the more value it is. Carats are not sizes of diamonds. Carats are weights. Most people think a carat is a really big diamond, but it has more to do with weight. And so the more cuts that are made in a diamond, and the more it's polished, like this one here, the more valuable it becomes. And the same thing with love. There are so many facets of love, or what we might call definitions. Here's 16 of them. Here is 16 of them right here. 16 different cuts that God wants to make in the fabric of our souls and our character as he makes up his jewels. He said he would do that in Malachi in chapter 3. And that's what he's trying to do with you. That's what he's trying to do with me, and I know he's working on me, and some of these need a lot of polishing in my life. But when you get to verse number 7 at the end, it says, endureth all things. Endureth all things. And so there is a facet of love called endurance. Let me just make it simple to understand tonight. If somebody quit the church and quit on the Lord and just walked away from it all, they'd still be saved. But you'd question their love, wouldn't you? You'd question their love that they didn't endure, that they quit. Nobody says, boy, that quitter really has a lot of love. I mean, somebody quits their marriage, you don't say, boy, he really loved his wife, didn't he? No, you say the opposite. You say there was a failure there in charity. And, if somebody just, quit my job and then they don't provide for their family, you question their love. So we don't think about love, I think, in as broad of a definition as we should. And so this text, and this is only the second of the 16 facets just in this text, verses 4 through 8 of chapter 13 that I've even spoken on so far, and the year is almost getting toward half over. But I just want to look at this one. You can read all verses 4 through 8. And there's 16 facets of love right now that God wants to cut into the character of our Christianity, and he wants to polish them, and he wants to make us beautiful. Boy, if anybody ever had all these facets of love, wow, they would be quite a Christian. That would be dazzling. But it does say in verse 7, love or charity endureth all things. Charity endureth all things. So I want to talk about the facet of enduring for a little while, and I don't think you'll have to endure a little while because we want to kind of zoom through this and got some things to do yet this evening. It's good sometimes to just take a word out of the Bible and study that word. It's what we call a word study. Tonight we want to take the word endure. B because we've learned already that love is endurance. Love endureth all things. Charity endureth all things. So then you take the word endure, and I want to give you 4 points tonight. If you got anything to write these down with, write them down with that pen or pen, paper or something, pencil. And we want to endure all things. Now, as we turn now to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, I want to look at verses 9 and 10 to introduce this kind of love in a practical way. Notice what Paul says. He says in verses 9 and 10, "Wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." In other words, the elect's sake, he's talking about the Jews. He's talking about the unsaved, his brethren according to the flesh. And so you can see the love in this verse. I endure all things for the unsaved, that they may, what? Obtain the salvation which is in Christ. See, this is a man who is totally sold out to others. And that's what love is in its purest definition. Love is the giving of yourself to others without any expectation of return. It's the giving of yourself to God without any expectation of return. But of course, with God, we get so much back. But he said, "I don't care if I get anything back. I suffer all things for the elect's sake, for the unsaved, so that they may obtain the salvation that we have, which is in Christ Jesus, unto eternal glory." And so here is an example of the enduring love we just saw defined in 1 Corinthians 13:7. Charity endureth all things. And he said, "I endure all things for the elect's sake." What a man he was. Now, what are some of the things then that we have to endure? Well, the Bible brings out 4 in the New Testament. We can write these down in the form of an outline. Point number 1, though, has 5 subpoints, though. I won't give you all the verses on these, but it was quite a study. Number 1, we must endure hardness. We must endure hardness. It says in the same book, back in verse 3, same chapter, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We have to endure hardness as a good soldier. And some of you are military, and you know even in peacetime some of the hardness that you have to endure that other citizens of a country don't have to. But you have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says, "I endure all things," in verse 10, "for the elect's sake." That includes that he endures hardness. Now, you know, to us, you know, hardness is like when the remote control don't work. You know, the batteries are dead in your cell phone, and you got to wait for it to charge, and the air conditioner only runs on one speed in our automobile or something like that. That's the hardness of a lot of us in America. But I got 5 subpoints here that we could go through the scriptures and see that define this word hardness. I'll call these A, B, C, D, and E. A is afflictions. A is afflictions. In Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 17, it says, "And have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time afterward when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." And so these do not endure affliction. But notice that for the word's sake, every one of us is going to be afflicted. Every one of us is going to be afflicted. And the scripture says in Psalm 34:19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Many are the afflictions. Affliction means to be maltreated or tormented. It says about the Jews when they were in Egypt, it says that the more that Pharaoh afflicted them, the more they grew. They were maltreated. they were tormented. And you and I also are going to suffer afflictions. And we need to endure afflictions for the word's sake. And that's love. And so people are going to, you know, laugh at you. They're going to treat you badly when you're a Christian. We don't get a lot of that in America. But when you think of the story of Hannah and how Penina, who was Elkanah's other wife, it says that she afflicted Hannah over and over again. Why? Because Hannah couldn't have a baby. And she became an adversary to her. And Hannah was mistreated because she was barren. She didn't have a child. And so there are afflictions. Back in our book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions." So that's one definition of hardness, is afflictions. Endure afflictions. When you're maltreated, don't get offended, like Jesus taught in the parable of the sower. When they're afflicted, they get offended, and they just say, "That's it, I don't have to put up with this anymore." No, that's not love. Love is when you say, "No, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and for him and his word, I will bear affliction." There's another definition, that's persecution. In the same verse, back in Mark chapter 4 and verse 17, it said, "And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended." And so another type of hardness, B, is what we call persecutions. Persecutions. The word persecution means to drive away. In 2 Timothy 3, which you're probably still open to, it says in verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, shall suffer being driven away." And what that means by being driven away is that they will separate you from their company. Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. That's what persecution means, to drive away. They say, "Well, we don't want any a party." You know, we think of persecution as some guy being thrown in jail and chained up and tormented. That certainly is persecution. But persecution is just when the world says, "I don't want anything to do with you." Jesus was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. That's what the prophet Isaiah said would happen to Christ. They just say, "We don't want anything to do with him." And if we have a need to be popular or a need to be accepted, you're probably going to cave eventually to this world. Because all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall be driven away, shall be persecuted. The world's going to say, "We don't want anything to do with you." I think an example of this is found in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. I'll read this for you. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 4 says this. It says, "Wherefore they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." And so here they are running to riot, and they think it's strange that you're not with them anymore. And so there is a separation that occurs between the godly believer and the ungodly unbeliever, and they will separate you from their company, as the words Jesus used in Luke 6, verse 22, I mentioned that. They'll separate you from their company, and you have been persecuted. If family members don't want anything to do with you, and neighbors and old friends, that is persecution. That is persecution. C, suffering. Suffering. Another form of endurance, hardness we must endure, is suffering. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 6, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer." or whether we be comforted is for your consolation and salvation. So this life is a life of suffering, and we must endure suffering. It is not possible to find a life in the will of God where there will not be some kind of suffering. It may be in health, maybe the loss of all things, 1 Corinthians 9:12. Man, that'd be something. The loss of all things. Man, imagine that. That was Paul's testimony. That's never been my testimony. That guy suffered. There's other kinds of suffering, too. Jesus said, suffer little children. Suffer the word of exhortation. Did you know sometimes preaching is suffering? If it's good preaching, there's going to be things in it that cause us to suffer. Have you ever suffered under preaching? The Bible says endure that. Getting your toes stepped on, you know, getting hit right between the eyes. And I'm sure next Tuesday, as I listen to 6 messages from the Word of God, if I can be here, I'm sure there's going to be some suffering where I'm going to say, yeah, boy, that's me. I should hit the altar. And suffer the word of exhortation, suffer wrong, suffer need, suffer reproach, suffer trouble as an evildoer, suffer adversity. And so these are just some of the types of suffering mentioned in the scriptures. The best book, if you are in a season of suffering in your life, to read is 1 Peter, 5 chapters, tremendous book on suffering. And it says this, as you go through, you learn a lot about suffering in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4:19 says this, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. It's God's will. When you start suffering, don't think, I must be out of God's will. No, you might be right in the middle of it. And he may have something that you're supposed to learn during that season. And I think the greatest verse in all the Bible, in my opinion, on understanding suffering is 1 Peter 5:10. It says, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And so we see some wonderful manifestations of the beauty of God wrought in us when God picks up the tool of suffering and uses it on us. Now, your suffering and mine may be quite different, but God does reach into his toolbox and works on us with suffering to bring about that we might be made perfect, strengthened, settled, established. D, tribulations. Another endurance. Don't worry, the next 3 points go faster. Another endurance of hardness is D, tribulations. 2 Thessalonians 1:4 says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So we have to endure tribulations. John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. And so it's like a promise. You shall have tribulation. What is tribulation? It means great trouble or severe trials, oppressions, distresses. I mean, there's going to be times where you're going to, in other words, really go through it. I mean, we talked earlier about persecution. Maybe the people at work won't sit with you or talk to you or something like that. That's not really going through it. But boy, there's other times you're going to really go through it. And that's when the word tribulation comes in to describe that hardness that we must endure. And then E is grief. E is grief. We have to endure grief. Man alive. You know, some of these people that are always smiling, I wonder about them. Sometimes, I guess ignorance is bliss or something, but boy, there's times where we have some grief. 1 Peter 2:19 says this, "For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." Remember Isaac and Rebekah, how they had to endure grief because their son Esau married Judith. And you can read about their grief in Genesis 26 and verses 34 and 35. And anytime a child marries outside the will of God, that's going to cause grief to the parents. Right. And we talked about that on Mother's Day a little bit, the grief. Everybody ought to warn a young lady before you have a baby, there's going to be a sword that's going to pierce through your soul. That's part of being a mother. I mean, it's pretty neat when you have the babies and so on, but they grow and get old. And some of them bring a whole lot of grief to parents' hearts. We have to suffer grief. We got to endure it. We can't quit. Can't quit. And in that example, I've seen some moms who've endured grief, or dads too. Dads ought to endure grief too if they have a wayward son or daughter. And we've seen those people come back, and what a joy that is. And we need to pray for that. Pray for your kids to come back to the Lord, or better yet, pray for them to be saved, because a whole bunch of them are acting like they've never been saved. Right. You might have prayed with them or something like that growing up, and they may have had an emotional decision or did something in Sunday school or junior church. But if there's no fruit of their salvation, you should be very concerned. And this thing goes on for 10, 20 years, and there's no chastening or nothing. That person's lost. That person's lost. Well, we're up to point number two. We must endure sound doctrine. I don't have any sub-points for the next 3 points here, so. We got to endure sound doctrine. Did you hear that? Because that's not happening today. Churches that are enduring sound doctrine are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And churches that are compromising are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's right. I don't really care how big or small we are. We're going to endure sound doctrine. Amen. We're not going to change. It says in 2 Timothy and chapter number 4 and verse 3. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." These people don't like preachers. They love teachers, though. Teach, 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 teach. They love that stuff. And we need teaching, too. It grounds us. But prophetically, the Bible says, in the last days, some... "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Sound doctrine. And they're going to go after satanic doctrine, doctrines of devils, and strange doctrines that don't establish anybody with meats. Now, folks, even in the body of Christ, we've got to endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine has to be endured. It doesn't just happen. It's got to be endured. And there are so many doctrines we could go through, but there's just some things we can't change on. We got to believe, for instance, in the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Son of God and God the Son, and that he was born of a virgin. We believe in the Trinity, that God exists eternally in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. We got to believe in the inspiration and the preservation of the Scriptures, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We got to stand strong for the King James issue, because there's just constantly new versions being written, especially in English, based on the corrupted Westcott and Hort Greek texts that were written in the 1800s. Whereas the King James Bible was written during the days of the apostles and Jesus, and it's the original Greek. It's called the Received Text, the Textus Receptus. In the Old Testament, there's perverted Old Testament manuscripts, and we use only the Old Testament based on the Masoretic text of the Hebrew And that's only found, the only English Bible that we have out of almost 400 different versions today, the only English Bible is the King James Version. And we don't want to get King James ugly on people, but we want to be King James only. And we can love them. I love them and everything. And sometimes you can show them that. A lot of people are just ignorant of it. They just go to their bookstore and say, I want a Bible that's easy to read. Well, you know, I've seen little boys and little girls understand the King James Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. And so there's issues like that, the family issue. Marriage, obviously, we got to take a stand about marriage these days when they're redefining what marriage is and the roles of men and the roles of women and even things like spanking nowadays. We have Christians questioning that when the Bible so clearly teaches about using the rod. In fact, it goes so far to say that he that spareth his rod hateth his son. And just little issues, big issues. The Bible deals with beliefs and behavior. And doctrine has two branches to it, beliefs and behavior. It's not just beliefs, but it's also behavior. And we don't want to hear a lot about behavior nowadays and how to act and how to dress and how to, you know, avoid appearances of evil. That's all doctrine. That's sound doctrine. And that must be endured because it doesn't just happen. Look at the church today, man alive. They're not enduring sound doctrine. Number three, we must endure chastening. We must endure chastening. And by the way, doctrine, I've written extensively on it out here for my own sake. But if you'll go down these steps, you'll just be hit with doctrines almost every one of the major doctrines of the Word of God and some of the other maybe smaller issues. But our Lord said, whosoever breaketh one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty scary. I got a sermon I'm working on. I'm going to preach it here pretty soon. It's called 10 Ways to Wreck Your Heaven. Your heaven's going to be different than mine, you know. 10 Ways to Wreck Your Heaven. And that verse goes on to say this, but whosoever shall teach these least commandments of mine, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So you can go around if you want to and tell people, well, this isn't important anymore, this isn't important anymore, this isn't important more. But just remember, you're wrecking your heaven while you're teaching that. Because you and I have no business saying to somebody, what God said here is not really that important anymore. It's 2017 and things have changed. I found 10 ways a person can wreck their heaven. I'm going to share that sermon one of these days with you. Well, we must endure chastening. Yes, chastening. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So in other words, chastening is love. And enduring chastening, just as enduring all things, is love. And there's times where God is going to get the rod out or the belt out and spank us. Now, it doesn't have to happen, because if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So don't ever fear being condemned with the world if you sin or thinking you've lost your salvation. We're not condemned with the world. We are chastened of the Lord. And it says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Chastening is love. That's one of the facets we'll talk about this year. I know, sometimes I said at the beginning of the year, love is tough love. We spanked all of our children, and I was spanked growing up. My dad spanked me, my mother, my stepmother, my aunt, my uncle. It just seemed like they took turns on me. I don't know what I did, but it was like tag team spanking or something. I'm serious. I can't believe how many people I remember spanking me. And I don't know what I did. We used to have this thing called the doghouse. Anybody ever have those in your home where there's a doghouse up there and then there's all these dogs with your names on them? And if Arthur, there was a dog, Arthur, and then he was put in the doghouse. I was in there all the time. I don't know why. I was a bad kid. But you know something? I don't doubt at this stage in my life, I don't doubt 1 ounce in my heart that every one of them loved me. Every one of those people loved me and had my best in mind by spanking me. And some of those spankings were severe. And it straightened me out. And it helped me to walk straight. And we are told that the Lord will chasten us too. And when he does, in Proverbs 3 and verse 11, it says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth." See, when a father chastens a child, that is love. But as Proverbs, the other proverb says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." You hate your son. And you know something? When we see right down here, one of the largest prison populations in New York State, just down the road here, that is filled with a bunch of undisciplined men, most of them who didn't have a spanking when they were growing up. And now they have to be disciplined when they're 20 and 30. But one way or another, you got to have discipline to make it in this world. Don't be weary. I can remember getting away from the Lord while I was in the Army, and I can remember 5 specific times while I was backslidden where God severely chastened me. And I could give you the details of all 5 of those times, and you would say, that's extreme. And every time, even though I was backslidden, every time I knew God was trying to get my attention. He was trying to get my attention. And finally, I threw up the white flag. I just surrendered. I said, no more. No more. And I'm so glad he loved me enough to do that. Amen. I'm glad he loved me enough to do that and straighten me out and get something at least out of my life. We must endure temptation, number 4. In closing, we must endure temptation. Now, no temptation comes from the Lord. But James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." Now, what is love? Love endureth all things. We've got to endure temptation. You are going to be tempted to do evil. God is going to allow it. God doesn't do it, though. Because he goes on to say this, "Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." God has never tempted anyone with evil. But he will allow the devil to. Classic case, Matthew 4, Luke 4. Jesus. Was Jesus tempted of the devil to do evil? Absolutely. In the Mount of Temptation, we know of at least 3 of the specifics of those temptations, and we know that the devil was specifically the one tempting him. And every time Jesus Christ resisted those temptations by the power of the Word of God. It's good to know the Word of God. When you're tempted, you can pull it out as a sword and resist the devil. It says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." That means you not just own a Bible, but have the thing memorized. Have verses memorized about your particular weakness. So when the devil comes to try to push your button, you can say, "No, I can't do that because the Bible says." And quote a scripture. And there's one weakness we know that the devil has because the Bible exposes it to us. And what is his one weakness? He does not like to be resisted. James 4 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." He'll just say, "Bye, I'm going to go bother someone else." He doesn't like being resisted. He doesn't want to like it when a human being says, "No. No, I'm not going to look at that. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to think that. No, I'm not going to say that about this person. Amen. No, I'm not going to steal that. Amen. No, I'm not going to lose my anger anymore. and lose my temper. No, no, Satan, that's over with. He doesn't like being tempted, and he just says, well, I'll go bother someone else then. And you get a season off. It says the devil departed from Jesus for a season. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now, in closing, turn to James 5:11. We said tonight, love, we looked at one facet of love, and that is the facet of endurance. Love endureth all things. Man, what a list you have now. If you kept notes tonight, that's quite a list. Love endureth all things, hardness, afflictions, persecution, suffering, tribulations, grief, sound doctrine. You say, I ain't changing. I don't care how much the body of Christ changes. I'm not changing what I believe and why I believe it. Chastening and then temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Gets a crown of life. There's going to be people walking around heaven with a crown of life on. You're going to say, that person said no to the devil. When the devil tempted him or her to do evil, they said no. Because they loved Jesus. And they loved the Lord, and the Lord satisfied them, and they didn't need to do this sin looking for some satisfaction. Christ was enough. Amen. Well, this sounds like a tough life. Yeah, but look at the end, though. Look at the end and closing of the life of endurance. James 5 and verse number 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Look at that first statement. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You know, you just hang in there with your marriage to the end and you'll be happy about it. And you just hang in there with the Christ-like life as a Christian. Let others quit the church. Let others backslide, but you just stick to the end. You'll be happy. You'll be happy with yourself. We count them happy which endure. We need the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5. And we need to pray and say, God, fill me with your love so that I will endure anything that you ask me to endure. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Bible study tonight. Help us, O Lord. Give us grace and give us your love. Lord, again, these things are, I guess, easy to study out and present and preach and teach, but they're hard to live. Sometimes I don't do very well myself putting up with people. And I need your help. We all need your help, so bless. Lord, the message to our hearts tonight. Now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and the piano begins to play, if you just want to, anybody wants to come to this altar, the house of the Lord. The Bible says God's house shall be a house of prayer unto all nations. That includes America. It's a house of prayer. You come. As we were going along tonight, looking at what we have to endure, that's love. Boy, if somebody endured all of this for Christ's sake, you know what we'd say about that person at the end of their life? Boy, they love the Lord. Look what they put up with for the Lord. They didn't quit. They didn't compromise. Look what they put up for the Lord. Do you see it? Do you see that facet of love and endurance? May the Holy Ghost help us tonight. We count them happy. Please, I'm probably preaching to the faithful tonight, but don't be a quitter. Don't ever be a quitter. Remember this message. The facet of endurance, that's love. Love endureth all things.